Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 21, 2022. My new article on LinkedIn, "He Who Starts a War, Loses." Speaking about the Russia-Ukraine war, NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg recently told a German weekly newspaper, "We must prepare for the fact that it could take years. As I have said several times, this war is not like any war before, it is a scrutiny on a new level, a precursor of more scrutinies to come. This scrutiny may have started with Russia and Ukraine, but it will not end there, it will encompass all of Europe, and eventually all of humanity. These scrutinies will drive human society to rebuild itself in a way that helps us achieve life's essence and purpose. The current bafflement and indecision that has overcome us is not negative. It is a mandatory state that precedes any progress. There have always been struggles over who will rule, which party or which leader or which ideology. The reflections imposed on us today impel us to determine how we want to relate to our society, to our country, and to humanity, and what will advance us to achieve the state of completion and perfection. Although at the moment, the struggles are between individuals who are leaders of their countries, people already see that this is not the correct way for humanity to be, at least not in terms of the leaders' motivations. When leaders' decisions are driven by considerations of the benefit of the public rather than their own benefit, their decisions will be correct, they will succeed, and they will win everyone's support. This, by the way, does not pertain to one specific leader but is true of all leaders, as this will be the basic tenet of leadership in the future. The mutual dependence that seems to burden us today, causing shipment delays, food and energy shortages, and spreading viruses around the world, is really the flip side of our mutual responsibility. When we learn the message of interconnectedness that it teaches us, we will find that our connections do not hurt, but allow us to live more comfortably and easily, and that our mutual dependence is an invitation to connect our hearts and not only our economies. The reason that we currently feel as though the world is in crisis is that we are unwilling to accept our interdependence. In the struggle between forced interdependence and reluctance to play by its rule, we are causing everything to shut down. However, if we embrace connection rather than reject it, we will discover its countless benefits compared to having to rely only on ourselves. We are living through a very special time in history. A pivotal shift is happening, a spiritual transformation. Gradually, we are learning to perceive ourselves not only as individuals, but also as parts of a system that maintain a symbiotic relationship with it. We nourish the system, and the system nourishes us. Until today, we perceived ourselves as separate beings. This put us in constant struggles against everyone and everything. The survival of the fittest epitomized our attitude towards life. In the new perception awakening within us, our attitude will change to what anthropologist Brian Hare and research scientist Vanessa Woods refer to as the survival of the friendliest. In this approach, those who feel connected to others and act with everyone's benefit in mind will prosper, and those who cling to the attitude of each man for himself will find themselves defeated by life. Soon, and I hope it will come without too much pain, humanity will come to complete despair. We will feel that we are suffering blows every step of the way, and at every point in our development. When we come to this, people will agree to connect as a last resort. At that point, I really hope that humanity will begin to contemplate how to rise above the ego, because otherwise, it will inflict unbearable suffering on all of us. In the era that is now dawning, we will not be able to impose decisions on others. We will not be able to oppress or force each other into any resolutions that they will not want to make of their own volition. Person against person, country against country, regime against regime, no one will be able to impose one's views on the other. In the new era, he who starts a war, loses. Rather, everything will be done with connection and reciprocity. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, a good word for the teachers. When I was in junior high, I looked in awe at straight A students in the grades above me. They were about to finish high school and become teachers, too. They could have gone anywhere. They could have gotten scholarships to any college and studied any profession that came to their mind, but they chose teaching. At that time, in Belarus, where I grew up, teaching was a highly respected occupation. Today, in Israel, teachers are leaving the profession in droves. Our education system is being depleted and new teachers are far fewer than those who leave. Worse yet, many, if not most, of those who join do not last more than a few years. What is more, the ones who leave are the better ones, those who can succeed elsewhere, too. Our children will soon have no teachers to teach them. There are two major problems behind the great desertion of the teaching occupation. The first is that the society does not value it. The prestige that went with teaching, and which I knew as a child, does not exist today, at least not in Israel. The second problem is the teacher's salary. Today, as teachers are protesting in demand to raise their salaries to a more respectable level, I think it is necessary to address the issue of the teachers' salaries before everything else. A higher salary, not high, but higher, or at least not as low as it is now, will enable teachers to get by more easily, especially in the early years of their career, and will also reflect a higher level of respect for the teaching occupation. Teachers, after all, are very meaningful people in the lives of all of us. Along with parents, they are the people entrusted with preparing our children for life. They are very meaningful in shaping the future generation's approach to life and to other people. Therefore, we want our teachers to be good role models, individuals worthy of teaching the future generation. They must feel that their work is important, and that society feels that their work is important. In today's world, that feeling is expressed, to a great extent, in salaries. Currently, when teachers' salaries are low, besides the financial hardships, it is a statement by the society that they are unimportant, their occupation is unimportant, and they are not worth more than what they are paid. Who would want to stay in a demeaning occupation? Therefore, in my opinion, the first step toward healing the education system is to pay teachers a decent salary. Afterwards, it will be possible to see that teachers teach what we want them to teach, that they are worthy role models, and that they know how to pass on the values we want them to pass on to their students, who are our children. My new article on LinkedIn, Occupy Rothschild, again. In 2011, the Israeli chapter of the Occupy movement began its activities with a huge rally in Tel Aviv, and went on to occupy Rothschild Boulevard for the next several months. The media was all for it, and so were the people. The causes were just, and there were many of them, and everyone believed a change was coming to the Israeli society. People felt they had had enough of corporations profiting at their expense. I warned back then that the protests would accomplish nothing because there was no unity among the protesters, and without unity, they were powerless against corporations and politicians. This is indeed what happened. A committee was announced, recommendations were drafted, but the citizens of Israel are exploited now as they have always been, if not more so. But people seem to have short memories. These days, tents are up again on Rothschild Boulevard because Israelis are fed up with exploitation and abuse of power. And once again, the people are divided, their goals are manifold and budgets are given to those in power, who split them among the many parties that exist in Israel. When everyone pulls the blanket their own way, and the blanket is not big enough to cover everyone, it eventually tears and people are left with nothing. Therefore, despite all the wealth of ingenuity, startup companies, advanced technologies, innovative biotechnology and agriculture, and abundance of natural gas reserves, Israel will remain poor and weak. The prime defense against calamity is love and unity. When there are love, unity, and friendship between each other in Israel, no calamity can come over them, writes the book Morvah Shemesh. Division is our only enemy. When we fight for different causes, we increase our separation and vie against each other. In such a state, we have lost before we have even begun. If Israelis want to accomplish anything, they must first and foremost unite. Only if we make unity and solidarity our top priorities will we be able to prioritize our needs correctly. If each faction lays out its needs and challenges, and everyone discusses what to do and when, knowing that the primary goal is to enhance our unity, then all the problems will be solved in the right time and in the right way. As long as we remain centered on our own needs, and this is the prevailing atmosphere in Israel, there is no reason why powerful people should not abuse the rest of us, if they only can. But if we unite, they will lose their desire to abuse, our unity will draw them in, and Israel will prosper. Question without an answer. Question: Kabbalists who have attained the Creator describe it in their books. Can this be an instruction for us? Answer: Of course. Kabbalists tell you what you should do in your desires, how to adjust them in order to feel the Creator. Question: Will everyone have personal feelings? Answer: Everyone's feelings are personal, but you will be able to calibrate yourself like musicians in an orchestra. Comment: Let's say you and I baked a cake according to the same recipe. We will feel its taste in the same way. My response: How do you know that it will be the same? How can you check it? Comment: You will say that the cake is sweet, and I will say that it is sweet. We have a common concept of sweet. Even if we feel this sweetness in different ways, at least we will come to a common denominator that it is sweet. My response: Maybe we will come to something common because we agree with such a definition. But all the same, the question of attaining the Creator remains without an answer. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, June 7, 2022. How to get out of a losing streak? Question: Any person feels that there are some good periods in life and a streak of failures. What does it depend on? Answer: It all depends on the upper governance. When it descends upon a person and gradually awakens step by step, state by state, then one no longer knows how to act. One sees that he has caught a jet stream, a current, that takes him somewhere, maybe even into bad waters. Sometimes, it's the other way around, into good and calm waters. Question: What can be done in this case? How can you get out of the losing streak? Answer: Take a Kabbalistic book and read, read, read. By this, a person attracts the upper light, the good light. Only this will help him. Question: What about the connection with other people? Answer: He will read about this in the books too. But the most effective thing is not the connection with other people, because who knows what kind of people there are in his environment. A Kabbalistic book, however, is always a help. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, May 24, 2022. On the opposition of two worlds. Question: What happens to my sensations in the five corporeal sensory organs during spiritual attainment? Answer: Our corporeal sensory organs are so small that they become almost invisible. What do you have left of your childhood? You sometimes remember maybe some episodes, and that is it, because everything is suppressed by other bigger impressions. Question: Does a Kabbalist stop perceiving this world the way we perceive it today? Answer: This world partially disappears from our sensations, since it is the opposite of the world we will come to. Our world is egoistic, built on opposition, hatred, suppression, on the destruction of one another. And the spiritual world is built on harmony, mutual help, mutual complementing, unity, and connection with each other. Therefore, instead of our world, a completely different connection between the elements of creation appears. But all the same, the impression from our world, from its opposites, and from its evil does not completely disappear. It enters that new world and helps make it more convex and brighter, precisely in contrast with our world. From CAB TV's close-up. Brunch of Sagara, May 15, 2011. Striving for good connection. Question: the world is constantly evolving, and we no longer need to explain to people that the world is global. They see it themselves. But their question is, what is next? How can we compensate for this? Answer: we do not need to think about the whole world, we are not able to grasp it. Our teams on all continents are conducting dissemination activities. But the main action should be in Israel, because here is that part of humanity in which the Reshimot, the spiritual genes, lie exactly on the surface. These people have already realized them once and fell from them. Therefore, we must definitely activate the part of humanity called Israel, straight to the Creator, which carries the quality of bestowal and love. If we do this, then practically the entire world will feel a strong spiritual jolt. Suddenly people will rush forward, suddenly they will discover the meaning of what to live for. They will stop striving for various nonsense. They will suddenly be drawn to realize this idea, good connection between them, in order to reveal the upper force, the next dimension. But for this we need to work at full capacity. I hope that we will do this within the next few years. At least I see it as my mission. I hope we can do it. If not, the state will be very deplorable for everyone, first for the Jews, then for the entire world. From CAB TV's I Got a Call. World Unemployment, September 15, 2011. How to see good instead of evil? Question. Tatiana Normova is simply screaming. In her letter it is written in capital letters, "Tell me, how is it possible to cover this evil with love? How?" She gives a link to terrible footage of murders and rapes. Scary footage. Actually, there are a lot of things in the world today that cannot be covered with love. What would you say about this? Answer: the fact is that there is only one problem, what a person enters into. If he closes his eyes and enters the world of contradictions, murders, lies, robberies, and everything else, meaning, into the world of evil, then, of course, this is the opposite state. There is no way out of this world. However, if he nevertheless imagines a world of goodness that is not clearly revealed before us, but we can still imagine it, then he can awaken within himself great desires for such a state and cause their revelation from above. Then everything that he saw as evil, he will gradually see as good. Question: even the most terrible things? Answer: he will not see the most terrible things. He simply will not be seeing them. Question: what will these pictures, all this horror, be replaced with for him? Answer: it will be replaced with good. Try and you will see. Question: it is very difficult. I see a clear, terrible evil more and more today. I see evil. What will I see? Answer: you will see the opposite. That the world is absolutely good, all people love each other, and no one does anyone any harm. How can this be? My eyes and my ears say the opposite. They will tell you the opposite of what they are saying now. Everything will change to the opposite. Question: should this be accepted as a postulate? Answer: not a postulate, but an assumption that you are being told about the fact that you can attain the world in a different form, inverse of what you are attaining now. Question: you said, you can. If I will sort of build it for myself, force myself, think like this, enter it, that this entire world that I see is not that world, evil is not evil, but all this good, is this how I should work? Answer: yes. Try and you will see. Comment: we should advise this to everyone. The entire world needs this today. My response: yes, of course. people will come to this. They will see that it is simply impossible to go on like this, and they will begin to hear such advice. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 12, 2022. A movie named Life. Question: what is this deeper level of perception of the universe where all objects are infinitely interconnected? Answer: we exist inside ourselves and watch some kind of movie called Life Within. In order to understand this, we need to rise above our nature because it represents absolute egoism. This is how we are built, opposite to the eternal and perfect nature of the upper world. Therefore, we feel only ourselves, we are closed within ourselves. Our eyes are turned inward, our ears are turned inward, and everything is turned inward. And the fact that I am talking now, living in this world, I have a wife, children, grandchildren, all this, including our history, geography, the universe, is perceived by me in this dream. What does in a dream mean? It's just that this movie is playing inside of me. It is that movie that I perceive and participate in. And I don't see anything outside of myself. I cannot pull my eye out and see what is happening outside because I feel it in myself. As if there is a screen at the back of our brain and on it I see what supposedly exists outside of me. But in fact it's all inside me. From CapTV's Close Up. Hologram, July 28, 2011. Michael Leitman, on Quora: how can I learn to better understand social interactions? Social interactions ultimately come to teach us that the entire world was created for the person. We encounter different people in different situations in order to learn how to position ourselves in an optimal manner, which means becoming conduits of nature's positive force of connection, bestowal and love into our world. Such a force is an attitude that wishes solely, as it is written, to do good to the good and to the bad, that is to bring love and fulfillment to all. Ultimately, we need to feel as if we are the representatives of this force toward others in society, and our every interaction then becomes in order for us to know how to position ourselves so that we will become such conduits. We should thus calibrate ourselves toward our social interactions in order to let the message that nature wants to deliver to this world pass through us, undistorted. By doing so, we become nature's helpers, servants and conduits. Based on the video, what do social interactions ultimately come to teach us? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Aaron Levi. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.